You are Locked On SEC, your daily podcast on the Southeastern Conference. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, everybody? Welcome into the Locked On SEC podcast. Great to have you guys along. Today's episode brought to you by rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. On today's show, we're going to talk all things SEC quarterbacks with a former SEC quarterback himself, former LSU Tiger and former MLB big leaguer Josh Booty will join us. We'll get his thoughts on LSU's quarterback situation, how impressed he is by Mac Jones, and maybe how depressed he has been by Bo Nix so far. We'll also go around the conference as South Carolina's offense just got a big boost in terms of a clearing by the NCAA. And we'll also talk with Locked On Razorbacks host John Neighbors, find out how Arkansas is sitting at 2-2. We'll also hit on the four games in the SEC this weekend with him. I'm Chris Gordy. Be sure to subscribe and follow Locked On SEC for free wherever you get your podcasts. Get the latest episode of this podcast as soon as it comes out 5 days a week. All right, we got a lot of things to get into. Let's go around the conference.
Boots out to the right. Intercepted.
Makes the handoff.
What a catch!
Around the conference.
South Carolina just got some more help added on offense. Wide receiver Jalen Brooks has been cleared by the NCAA.
Jalen Brooks, where you at? You want to play this weekend? You just got cleared by the NCAA.
Brooks is from North Carolina, started his college career at Division II Wingate University before transferring this past spring to Tarleton State in Texas. And then he ultimately transferred to South Carolina over the summer. Brooks was deemed immediately eligible by the NCAA yesterday and will have 3 years to play two at South Carolina. He's been practicing with the team all this time, so expect him to suit up against LSU this Saturday. Outside of Shai Smith, the Gamecocks, they've been looking for a number two complement at receiver. Jalen Brooks could be that deep threat guy they're looking for. And now, taking on a struggling LSU defense, he's probably going to help the Gamecocks this Saturday. And speaking of LSU, bombshell dropped by Sports Illustrated yesterday as they revealed LSU is self-imposing penalties for rules violations and hoping the NCAA doesn't levy any more on them. The school will dock itself 8 football scholarships over a 2-year period and reduce recruiting visits following the 2-year-long investigation that found an LSU booster provided payments to former offensive lineman Vidal Alexander back in 2017. In addition, LSU will distance itself from former wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr. for 2 years after he distributed $2,000 worth of $100 bills on the field following LSU winning the national championship back in January. Beckham did not try to hide it. He was on camera in front of everybody throwing the money at a few LSU players. Some people assumed maybe it was fake money, but after realizing it was real, LSU responded by telling Odell he is not invited back to LSU for the next 2 years. And also for LSU, they will most likely be starting a true freshman at quarterback this week against South Carolina. It'll be the first time a true freshman starts since 2014, when Miles Brennan continues to deal with a torn muscle in his abdomen. Whether LSU goes with TJ Finley or Max Johnson, it will be the first true freshman to start at LSU since Brandon Harris did so in 2014 against Auburn. In that game, Harris was 3-for-14 for 58 yards. So I would assume either of these other kids will fare much better than Harris did this weekend. Over at Arkansas, Sam Pittman was on with Scott Van Pelt the other night, and he made some comments that Razorback fans may be ecstatic about.
You know, this statement's probably going to cost me a little bit of money one of these days, but this is it for me. I'm not interested in any other program. Arkansas is truly the greatest program in America to me. I grew up 75 miles from here. I have a lake home on Lake Hamilton in Hot Springs. We're home, and this is where we want to be, and this is be my last job.
The only person who didn't like that comment from Pittman, probably his agent. Don't ever say it's your last job, you're not going anywhere, you lose all your leverage. Now, another guy who changed jobs this offseason, speaking for the first time, new Georgia O-line coach and former Ole Miss head coach, Matt Luke talked about why he chose to come to Georgia.
You know, I really thought a lot about my family, and I felt like the city of Athens, I felt like they would be happy here. I felt like I really believed in Coach Smart. This is one of the top jobs in the country. You have a chance to compete for a national championship. So it wasn't just one thing, but I think the combination of those three things with, you know, my family, Coach Smart, and the ability of, you know, to coach at a place like Georgia, it was kind of a no-brainer.
That again, Matt Luke. Hop on the bus, Gus. Auburn beat writer Philip Marshall revealed this week that the Auburn football team last week flew to South Carolina but rode a bus 6.5 hours back to Auburn, Alabama following the game in an effort to save money amid the global pandemic. Auburn will reportedly do the same thing this Saturday when they return back from Ole Miss. That's roughly a 5-hour drive. Marshall said there is a cash shortage at Auburn because of the virus and all sports were asked to cut back where they could. I got a feeling if Auburn is asking their football team to take 6-hour bus rides back to campus, they will not be ponying up the $30 million buyout for Gus Malzahn and his staff. And Philip Marshall revealed that. $21 million buyout for Gus himself, roughly about $30 million for him and the rest of his staff. Settle in, Auburn fans. Gus, not going anywhere. Hey, on the basketball front, some big news yesterday is the Big 12 SEC Challenge was announced for this coming January. Among the really intriguing basketball matchups are Texas at Kentucky, Florida at West Virginia, Texas Tech at LSU, Kansas at Tennessee, and Auburn at Baylor among all the games. So some really good basketball coming our way in January. On the baseball front, Baseball America has a piece up on the Vanderbilt baseball team. And it says no program has more ranked draft prospects over the next 3 years than Vandy. Their list includes 16 draftable players from the team, including at least one top 10 player in each of the next three drafts. By the way, Vandy is ranked number one preseason in Baseball America's rankings, loaded with future big league talent at Vanderbilt. All right, that is around the conference. Coming up next, we're going to talk with former LSU quarterback Josh Booty to find out what to expect from the freshman quarterbacks at LSU this weekend and much more. There is only one beer out there that is literally made to chill, and that is Coors Light. Coors Light wants you to know that no matter what sport is on this fall, Saturdays are your time to chill. Watching football is therapeutic to us, whether you're a guy, a girl. Some of you might like going to the day spa. That's fine and all, but nothing is better to me than getting that uninterrupted me time and an excuse to chill and sit on the couch, watch football, and drink a Coors Light. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you are wanting to hit the reset button, you got to reach for the beer that's made to chill, and that is Coors Light. And now you can get it delivered straight to your door. You don't even need to leave the house. Go to get.coorslight.com. You can get Coors Light brought right to your doorstep. Don't even need to put on the shoes to leave the house and go to the store. Coors Light right to your door with their new look delivered straight to you. Remember to celebrate responsibly. Coors Light Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Look, if you're somebody like me that hates to go to the big chain stores for anything, particularly when it comes to auto parts, if you can get it brought straight to your door, why not do it that way? RockAuto.com is the way to do it. You can get them on your computer or on your phone in your pocket. Best way to get the auto parts that you need and save a bunch of money. Why would you choose to spend 30%, 50%, 100% more for the exact same auto parts at one of those chain stores or even go into a new car dealership? You ever been to one of those and say, hey, I just need this little part. It's going to be about $175. Why do that? Just go to rockauto.com. They've got all the parts you need for your car. Rockauto.com has got it all for you. Best of all, their price is always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Go to rockauto.com, see all the parts available for your car, truck, whatever you drive, and make sure to write Locked On and How Did You Hear About Us so that they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. It's rockauto.com. Locked On SEC rolling along here. Chris Gordy here with you, and really excited to catch up with this guy. I mean, the resume goes on and on. The guy has done just about everything there is to do out there, but former LSU quarterback, former MLB big leaguer, and now he's doing a podcast talking all things about SEC quarterbacks with Taylor McCarg, part of the Believe Podcast Network. Josh Booty joins us now. Josh, what's up, man?
Oh, man, not much. I'm sitting down here in the rain in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, but I'm enjoying it. Just loving the football season, man. I'm glad we got it, even though we got to go through all this COVID stuff. It's been fun and interesting and everything in between, and I'm hoping LSU can get on track. That's one thing I'm hoping for.
Before we get into the football talk, just a quick thought. I mean, the team that you came up with and played for, the Miami Marlins, finally getting back to the postseason this year in baseball. We had the Braves going deep. I don't know, man. It was like a throwback year in the baseball world.
It really was. You know, it's been fun to watch. I don't watch much of the regular season, and of course, with the COVID and all that was going on, I kind of fell off track with it. But I watch the Marlins. I keep up with them, especially in the standings. They've got a good young team, a good nucleus, and I think they're going to make some waves. But you got the Braves in the division, who are as good as any young team, you know, in Major League Baseball. So it's going to be very tough. But that division is going to be good just because those teams are young and have a lot to prove. But I enjoy watching the Marlins. Of course, I like the Tampa Bay Devil Rays as well. Making it to the World Series, it's fun to watch a team like that, a small market club, you know, against the big, you know, against the mighty Dodgers in the big market. So it's fun.
Josh, I want to start with LSU. The big question with LSU coming into the season is, all right, Miles Brennan, can he be – nobody expecting to be what Joe Burrow was, but can he be a shell of that? Can he be successful at quarterback? And through the first couple weeks, he's been everything and then some when it comes to the quarterback position. I mean, yeah, he looked a little bit uncomfortable that first week against Mississippi State, but he's settled in, and I think he's made some really nice throws at the quarterback spot. But big question marks this week. We know he got banged up in the Missouri game. They said he was doubtful to play last week against Florida before that game got postponed, and now they're saying he's doubtful to play against South Carolina, and that means LSU's going to have to possibly turn to two freshman quarterback backs to get through this game. Just an overall thought on what you've seen, one, from Miles Brennan, and two, how difficult it's going to be to throw two true freshmen out there.
Yeah, you know, I think Brennan's doing a heck of a job, and you're right. It's hard. You can't be Joe Burrow. No one will be. It's like following Tebow or Leinart, you know, at SC or Florida. I mean, it's just so tough to try to duplicate, you know, what a Heisman Trophy winner does. And it's like you've got to be yourself, right? And a guy throws 60 touchdowns last year in Burrow, I mean, that set a record. I mean, so the chances, especially with losing two receivers, Jefferson, of course, Chase, with the COVID stuff, that, you know, the offense is not going to look exactly like it did last year. The first round running back as well, and a few linemen that were big time players, and a tight end that was an amazing football player at the collegiate level. I just, you know, it's very hard to come back and try to duplicate the stats, you know, and so you can't be a stat guy. You've got to try to get wins. You've got to move the ball one play at a time. You really got to look at what you're trying to do offensively as a player, and at the quarterback position, it's just one play at a time. Execute, execute, execute. Move the chains. Don't hurt your team and stuff like that. And that's what he's been able to do. Is they put up big numbers. I think, you know, stats wise, he has looked very, very good, off the charts, really, compared to other LSU quarterbacks in the past. But this spread offense and Terrace Marshall Jr., what a receiver he is. If he's not a first rounder, I don't know if there's one out there. I mean, that guy can play. So it's fun to watch. And they got great running backs. It's just that, you know, they get Ed Ingram back this week, I think, at offensive line. That'll solidify some of the stuff up. But Miles is, you know, Brent's looked great. I've been impressed with how he's played so far. Not a lot of bad balls, you know, being thrown at that position.
So I want to go back a little bit. Your experience at LSU, you were a guy who played as a freshman, beat out, you know, Craig Knoll, Rohan Davey for the starting job at the time. You know what it's like to be thrown into the fire as a true freshman, but you earned that job. Here's a position this week where you have Max Johnson, you have TJ Finley, two very highly recruited guys at LSU, but they're being asked to be, you know, they're being thrown into the fire this week in starting this week against South Carolina. What do you tell those guys if you're Coach O and Steve Ensminger running that offense? Do you give them some easy plays to kind of get them settled in, whoever starts the game?
Oh, I would always be friendly as a coordinator. I know Ensminger would want to do that. They'd want to get him in the mix of the game. South Carolina's got a good defense. Muschamp, he knows what he's doing on the defensive side of the ball. So you got to know who you're playing against, too. They're not going to give up a bunch of big plays. They're going to play sound on defense. And that's what they're known for. So I'm thinking going into the game, if you got a freshman out there, whether it's Johnson or Finley, you know, you've got to be able to move the ball. You've got to be able to run it better. I think that's one thing that LSU wants to do is run the ball better. And when you got young quarterbacks, you've got to be able to run the football to mix it up and to create some balance so that that defense really can't, you know, pin its ears back and come after you. I think the emergence of the RPO helps a quarterback, a young quarterback, play well and have more success because it takes a little bit of that pressure off when you've got a good, you know, good runners. If you complete some of the short balls early in the game and you kind of get him in the flow of the game, you know, there's not going to be 100,000 fans in the stands, which might help these young players too. It's, you know, not all the hoopla and fanfare that usually comes along with a home game at Tiger Stadium in the evening. And so I think that could help these guys too, potentially play well out of the gate. Just because we've got great receivers, some good outlets for them. If we run the ball better, it could help them. And then, you know, just kind of secure the football. Don't make bad decisions. South Carolina plays the same way. They're not going to get big chunks on offense unless we just completely blow assignments like we've been doing. If we play better on defense, then that game should be pretty close and pretty tight to the vest. It wouldn't be a wide open game, I don't think, with the freshman quarterback playing for us and then that offense that they have at South Carolina.
I want to get your thoughts on a few of the other quarterbacks around the league. Look, Mac Jones at Alabama, I think expectations, at least when you talk to people around the league, expectations from him were, okay, maybe he could be A.J. McCarron-like, maybe he can be Blake Sims-like. Mm-hmm. He's absolutely in the Tua category in terms of offensive numbers and production, and I know a lot of that is the talent he has around him is ridiculously good, but I can't help but be impressed with what I've seen from Mac Jones so far.
Totally in rhythm. Sarkisian's done a great job with him. Of course, he's been there a few years. He got to play in some big games last year when Tua was banged up. This 2020 Bama offense is as good as any offense I've seen. I mean, maybe with the exception of LSU last year. I mean, that type of offense that LSU had last year was super dynamic. I think Bama rivals that. I really do. I think they got three great receivers that potentially all could be first-rounders, and two of them way up there at the top. And so I like what he's got weapon-wise at his disposal. And I think he just makes great decisions, good throws. I mean, much like Burrow did last year, I don't think he can get out of the pocket and throw guys open like Burrow does. But I think, man, he throws on time, in rhythm, gives, you know, he throws to the right guy, and he's an accurate guy, and he's tall, and he's super successful so far. I mean, he's completing 78% of his passes. I mean, before Burrow did that last year at this point in the year, not many people do that, you know. And so he's kind of Burrow-esque in terms of completion percentage at this part of the season. And he faced a great defense last week in Georgia and had probably his best game. Three straight 400-yard games. The guy's playing unbelievable.
The clock finally struck midnight on Cinderella for Stetson Bennett with Georgia. They got a bye week this week. Then they're at Kentucky. If you're Kirby Smart, do you make it an open competition? I know Stetson had performed very well through those first couple weeks, but, you know, JT Daniels, is this a week where you say, hey, look, open competition, may the best man win?
Well, I'd like to see how, JT continues to get better, that's for sure. I know he's a good hand. I think he might have more upside than Stetson. Stetson's just that, you know, he's at a disadvantage because of, you know, size and strength. And I think he does make some great plays, but we saw the three picks last week. We saw that they didn't move the ball in the second half. Alabama knew how to make adjustments at halftime, and Saban always does. And they were able to, you know, to really slow that Georgia offense down. So you'd have to take a look at it. I know those players and those guys on the team, they really love Stetson. You can tell on the sideline. They come over and slap him on the butt and high-five him and do all the things that good teammates do when you got a leader in that position that's a good leader. So I know he's a good guy and a good leader. I just wonder when the chips fall, you know, in the second half of big ball games or the second half of the season, if they have to play in a big bowl game or in a championship type atmosphere, can that guy really lead them and beat a team like Alabama? I mean, it's just, I bet about Alabama last week because of Stetson, not because I don't like him as a player, but I didn't think he could beat Alabama. And so you've got to look at maybe some alternatives to see how high you can, you know, how good you can get with your offense, you know, with adding a player like JT Daniels in there, because he can play at a very high level. He's not a big guy either, but he can play at a high level, and he can complete balls too. So it'd be interesting to see if they mix them up or what they end up doing.
Talking with Josh Booty, last one for you, Josh. What do you make of what has happened with Bo Nix this year? I mean, reigning SEC Freshman of the Year, we saw so many good things out of him last year, and it seems like he's not taking that next step. He's not progressing. Now, maybe that part of that is a poor offensive line, but he's got great weapons at wide receiver. Why is Bo Nix struggling like he is this year?
It just looks like him and Chad Morris aren't on the same page. And they outgained South Carolina last week by 170 yards, but he threw three interceptions. They're not finishing drives, I don't think. They kicked two field goals in the second half. That's not going to win ball games, especially in these high-scoring affairs that we're seeing week in, week out in the SEC, especially in the West. And so I think he's got to be able to finish drives. He's got to make good decisions throughout the game. You know, you'll see flashes of brilliance. He likes to run the football. Sometimes he'll tuck it and run. He doesn't mind contact, but he's got to be able to sit back there in the pocket and throw guys open and understand what they're trying to do offensively. And I just don't think him and Chad Morris have been on the same page. But I like Nix as a competitor. He can't make the mistakes and think that they can win ball games. Three picks is too many in a big game like that.
Believe in SEC Quarterbacks, great podcast with Taylor McCarg and the one and only Josh Booty. Josh, it's been a lot of fun, man. Thanks so much for the insight.
Oh, man, thank you for having me. Anytime.
There you have it. One of the best out there, Josh Booty. Really enjoy talking all things SEC quarterbacks with him from a former SEC quarterback. Coming up next, we're going to find out how Arkansas has turned things around so quickly with our buddy John Neighbors from Locked On Razorbacks. Roll along, Locked On SEC podcast, and real excited for this next segment because we haven't done this before. We are going to do a joint podcast with our buddy John Neighbors, who covers the Arkansas Razorbacks. He does Locked On Razorbacks, so he's going to use part of this segment for his podcast. We're going to use this segment for our podcast, and we're going to talk all things Razorbacks with John, and we're going to talk about the SEC games this weekend and much, much more. John, how are you, man? Do we have you?
Chris, how's everything going, man? How's the SEC podcast looking for you?
It's going good, man. I mean, it's funny. I think our buddy Peter Burns from the SEC Network posed this question this week where he said, how many SEC fan bases are truly happy with where their team is right now or where the direction of their team is? And I thought that was a really interesting question because you've got some teams that are really disappointed at where they are. LSU is one of them. You know, Auburn is one of them. You know, Mississippi State, I don't know really what they thought real expectations were under Mike Leach, but I got to think they're not happy sitting at one and three. On the other hand, Ole Miss at 1-3, they don't like being there, but at least they're seeing great positives of the Lane Kiffin offense. And then you talk about teams that are happy where they are. Alabama, obviously undefeated, but I think you go right after that to Arkansas at 2-2, and obviously A&M where they are. But Arkansas, man, who thought they would be where they are right now? Like you said, should be 3-1 if not for the ref's mishap. And on the flip side, is Barry Odom just getting free drinks wherever he goes around Arkansas this week?
Yeah, man. I mean, it is wild to think that Arkansas, and when you put it that way in Peter Burns, that's a great question. I didn't even thought of that, of, you know, as far as fan bases and happiness, because I would be hard-pressed to find any Razorback fan that's not happy with the results so far this year. And it's crazy because we know the SEC, it's just wild, and it's always intense. And I even have a good friend of mine who's an Alabama fan, and, you know, they're undefeated. They just beat Georgia and pretty convincingly, and he's still sitting back like, I don't know. It's still a lot of problems. It's like, it's such a wild time. But, yeah, man, Arkansas and Barry Odom in the defense is what's been getting all the praise, and rightfully so. Like, I just can't really imagine how this happened. Like, this is a defense that was so bad over the past few years. They've been a terrible team. But you're talking about a defense last year that, like, broke records for how bad they were in school history. And then on that bad defense, they lose three of their best players in Sosa Aguim, Scooter Harris, and then Cameron Curl, where two of those guys are playing in the NFL right now, with Sosa Aguim and Cameron Curl. You lose those guys. You don't really gain anybody. Yet this defense is completely a totally new element this season. And it's like Mary Odom and this coaching staff deserves a lot of the credit, but also this defense and the players that are involved deserve a lot of credit as well. And it's just, I don't know, man. It's almost like I'm waiting for where's the catch? You know, like what's the big disappointment? What game is it going to happen where it comes crumbling down and we're all going to look at it like, oh, man, you were totally wrong. But
well, help me out here because the guys I'm seeing that are being named SEC Players of the Week, you know, we've had Bumper Poole, we've had Joe Fouché, and then this week Grant Morgan. I'm looking at those guys and it's all juniors and seniors, and you're right. How are they part of bad – such a bad defense last year and years past. And this year, these guys are all defensive player of the weeks in the SEC. It's crazy.
Yeah, I know. Like Grant Morgan was a walk-on just up until a few years ago. And a lot of them, people probably know him as being Drew Morgan's little brother. Drew Morgan being a former wide receiver at Arkansas was a really good player. And I mean, it's just amazing what how, and it just as if anybody had a need or a reason for a great example of it. And how much coaching matters. Like sometimes I feel like in sports we get wrapped up with players, which is players are important. The best players always make best teams. Like I'm not taking away from that. But you can see a difference in how much coaching matters, especially in college football. Like the best teams like Alabama and Clemson, great players that they get year in and year out. But the reason they're at where they're at is because of coaching, and that's what sets them apart. And so the fact that you have a guy like Grant Morgan, who was a walk-on just a few years ago, now being SEC Defensive Player of the Week. A guy like Hudson Clark, who probably nobody knows who that guy is. He was a walk-on from Highland Park out of Dallas. And he's got three picks against Ole Miss, and he was Freshman of the Week. I mean, like, so you see stuff like that, it's just hard to describe other than the fact that it's great coaching. Like, it has to come down to that because the players are good. I mean, they're not like they're scrubs, but they certainly weren't expected, nor were they ever really probably thinking about playing at this high level, but they sure are now.
Give me a thought on the offense, because obviously I think we're impressed by what Kendall Briles has done. And, you know, mixed bag. We know he came from his dad's system at Baylor, was very good running the offense there, went to Florida Atlantic for a year, was pretty good, went to Houston. They were okay that year, went to Florida State, not very good. And now he's at Arkansas, and what I've seen out of Felipe Franks, look, my take on him coming into the year was Felipe, I thought, was pedestrian at Florida with all that talent. You put him at Arkansas with presumably lesser talent. I was like, man, it's really going to take some good coaching to get him going, and how can you not be impressed with what this kid has done so far? He's been gutty, fearless, taking hits in the pocket, delivering great throws down the field, and I have to say, like, if we're giving an award away for most improved player of the year, I think it's Felipe Franks so far through 4 weeks.
It's funny you bring that up because I even said it on my show today when we were talking about Felipe that he may not be the best quarterback, but he's the right quarterback for Arkansas. Like, I think that as much as it was of getting a lot of the coaching staff together with Barry Odom and Kendall Briles and all that, I think, honestly, Sam Pittman and this coaching staff's biggest commitment when it came to recruiting or anything was Felipe Franks, because he's not setting the world on fire when he's throwing 300 yards a game and four touchdowns every game. He did that one game against Auburn, but you know he hasn't been that guy because they don't need him to be. They just needed somebody with legitimate SEC experience that was a senior, that had leadership qualities, and was motivated and driven to be a better player. And that's what Felipe's been. Like, I had a lot of people, especially from Florida when he transferred in, telling me, hey, man, you know, this guy's had some maturity issues. He's, you know, had to let the emotions get the best of him and all of that. And so I looked at it, I was like, well, as long as he's better than what we saw the past few years, it'll be good. But not only is he a better quarterback as far as physical ability, but he's just been a great leader. Like, they voted him captain well before any snaps were even taken in a game. Like, he really came in and made a difference in that locker room and got the team confident. And he has been a great leader. He's had some bad plays, but he's not let emotions get to him. He's just been one of those guys that was needed in that locker room, a senior SEC experienced guy that can lead this offense. And I think he's done a phenomenal job on it. I don't know if it'll show up on his stat sheet or anything, but here in Arkansas, and especially with Sam Pittman, he knows just how good he is and how big he's been for this program.
I want to hit on some of the games this week with you because we only have four. I mean, the bye weeks finally start hitting. Last week we had postponements. This week we had byes. But a quick look ahead, we know the Razorbacks get the Aggies next. Both teams are off this week. What do you think we can expect in that one, just an early look ahead? Because with 2 weeks to prepare, we know A&M and that offense have been a little bit better than I think we expected with losing all the people that they have to injury on offense. But their defense, I think, has been a little bit better than expected as well for A&M.
Yeah, that game's tough, man, because this game, as you know, it's always been played in Arlington. And it was always a game that, Razorback fans look forward to, but A&M hated. But the games were always close. Like, A&M's lost or won a lot of them. In fact, I think they're on an 8-game winning streak at this point in time over the Razorbacks, which is just stupid. But that game has always been close, even with the last two seasons and how bad Arkansas was. Arkansas lost by 4 last year, how bad they were, and they only lost by 7 the year before that. And again, that was like Arkansas's worst teams ever in their history. So I know these teams are different now this year, and A&M has shown some progress, but I just have this feeling that Arkansas is really going to show up against A&M and perform pretty well. And I'm not taking anything away from Texas A&M just because you only play the games in front of you. But that Florida win was really nice, and I think that that's where a lot of people came into play and really thought that they got it going. But still, like, beat the Vanderbilt game showed a lot of issues there where they, you know, barely got the win because Vanderbilt's a really bad team. The Mississippi State, as they've been exposed, they haven't been that great of a team either. But I just have this feeling that the matchup itself is going to favor Arkansas just a little more because, again, defensively, they have done such a good job, and they're going to be getting Bumper Poole back, which is one of the better players defensively. They're going to get him back, and I think that we're going to see a great game plan defensively to slow down that offense. It's just going to be a matter of, can Arkansas's offense actually take advantage of turnovers and whatnot? Because let's be honest, Arkansas scored 33 points in this game against Ole Miss. That's great. But they forced 7 turnovers for Ole Miss. So if you look at that, it's kind of like, yeah, maybe you should go short a little more points there if you were having them turn the ball over 7 times. So I like Arkansas in the matchup. I don't know if they're going to win or anything like that because we never know what rosters and everything are going to look like at that point. But I just think that this is going to be a much better matchup where A&M's and Arkansas's defenses are going to be the key in this game. It's just going to be a matter of which offense can actually take advantage of the opportunities the defense gives them.
Well, and if you believe Dan Mullen, I mean, it's going to feel like 90,000 people are in the stands because that's what he said it felt like when they lost to A&M there a couple weeks ago. I saw a lot of empty seats there, but I digress. All right, looking ahead to some of the games this weekend, only 4 games. Which game in the SEC intrigues you most between Auburn, Ole Miss, Alabama, Tennessee, Kentucky, Missouri, and South Carolina, LSU?
You know, I was trying to kind of look at the schedule ahead of time because, you know, when you're in a bye week, I don't know if you do this too, but well, when the team I cover is in a bye week, I'm like, all right, so let's see what good juicy matchups I'm going to be able to watch. But honestly, the SEC is kind of lacking this week. But I will say this, that Auburn-Ole Miss game intrigues me completely because I both of those teams Arkansas has already played, so I've seen what they look like. But I want Chad Morris and Auburn to fail so badly, and I want the offense to look so putrid, which they have so far this year, that I am willing to root for Ole Miss in this game, which is saying a lot because I don't like Ole Miss, and I don't care for Lane Kiffin. But I think that game's going to be interesting because one of two things are going to happen. Either one, Auburn is going to expose Ole Miss for being kind of a fraudulent team where – you know, they had a couple good games, but they still have a long ways to go, and they're going to go in and they're going to win. Or two, Ole Miss is going to put the final nail in the coffin in Chad Morris calling plays and being the offensive coordinator. Because if Auburn can't beat Ole Miss, and Ole Miss is not a good team, if Auburn can't beat Ole Miss and if Auburn offense can't score points against that Ole Miss defense, then there's no saving them. So I think it's going to be interesting just to see one of those two things play out. I kind of more predict that Ole Miss will win this game. And I think that you'll have one of those classic Gus Malzahn things of saying, I'm decided to take over the play calling duties like he always does every year. But that's probably the game I'm looking forward to the most, although I'm sure other people probably don't care as much about that game as I do.
Yeah, a few things on that one. If Auburn loses this game, one, Bo Nix has not been good this season. He's not taken that next step that we've expected or we were hoping for. And they still have to play A&M. They still have to play Alabama. They still have to play LSU, which may get better as the season goes along. Tennessee, you know, they're not looking great right now, but that's still going to be tough. Like, Auburn still has a lot of pitfalls down there, down the road. So if they're 2-3, if they lose this game, there are going to be a lot of questions when it comes to Gus Malzahn, Chad Morris, and that offense. And I've been joking all week, the most Googleable thing in the state of Alabama has been Gus Malzahn buyout, because everybody's trying to figure out, all right, what's it going to take? How much money? And if you believe what you see out there, I mean, $20, $30 million, like, are you really willing to pay that to get rid of a guy? So I don't know. This is a really intriguing game, though, because like you said, Matt Corral, the 6 interceptions last week was not good, but what are the odds he repeats that? You know, what are the odds exactly. He doesn't right the ship? So that's the game of the week in my eyes. The other one, to me, LSU hosting South Carolina. South Carolina looked really good this past week. Balanced run game, able to complete some passes, good stifling defense from Will Muschamp. LSU is starting a true freshman quarterback this week. We don't know if it's going to be TJ Finley or Max Johnson. They're probably going to play both of them, but Miles Brennan is still banged up. They've already had the issues on defense. If they can't fix, you know, get something going on offense with either of these true freshman quarterbacks, they're prime picking for an upset in their house by South Carolina. And just think of the implications. If South Carolina wins that game, I mean, they're talking about, we were talking Will Muschamp on the hot seat. If he's sitting there 3-2, they're throwing a parade for him. And on the flip side, LSU, if they fall to 1-3, I don't know if Bo Pelini makes it to the end of the season. I mean, especially if they give up, say, 500, 600 yards of offense to South Carolina. So this is a really big game for LSU in that, one, you got to get the W, but two, that defense better start to look better. South Carolina, you're playing with house money. You lose this game, no harm, no foul. You were not supposed to win it, but that's the other game that has my eye. And I think it's funny, we skipped over the CBS game, Alabama-Tennessee. Yeah. Why is this the CBS game? Alabama's a 3-touchdown favorite.
At what point do we stop saying that this, which I know Alabama-Tennessee, I guess, is a rivalry. But at what point do we just say, you know what, enough? Like, it's not a rivalry. It's a game that is completely and totally owned by Alabama. And the only time you've been close to beating them, Tennessee, is that year with Kiffin when they only won 12-10 or whatever it was. But, yeah, it is funny that we skipped over that game. But I don't know. It just doesn't do anything for me, man. Like, I know Alabama's going to win. And Nick Saban's still going to be undefeated against former assistants. And I don't care about that. But you brought up that LSU-South Carolina game. That one makes me laugh a little bit because I don't know how you felt about it, but when Will Muschamp got the job at South Carolina, I'm like, that's the worst hire I've ever heard, or at least the most uninspiring hire. Like, he couldn't do it at Florida, so what makes you think he's going to go into South Carolina and get it done? I like the guy, and he's always been very professional and all that, but I just didn't know if he was ever going to get it done. And after that win against Auburn, it's kind of like rejuvenated him. But with LSU and Bo Pelini, I mean, if South Carolina scores 40-plus on LSU in this game, like, you're right, Bo Pelini probably won't make it throughout the season. And I still think that Ed Orgeron understands. He's like, hey, as great as last year was, that pressure's on, the expectation's on, and if it ain't getting done, then I'm going to change it. So, yeah, that game is going to be also intriguing because isn't it funny that we're like talking about games being intriguing because somebody might get fired like after the game if they end up losing like that. But that's what makes the SEC so great and so intense is it's all about winning too, but in a lot of cases it's about who loses as well.
Well, and the easy fix is if South Carolina fires Muschamp, LSU just goes and brings Muschamp back as their DC. Boom, problem solved. They can do that one. Just one other note on the last game of the week, Kentucky at Missouri is an intriguing one because Missouri's come out and said, finally, for like the first time in a month, they have no positive cases. They've got everybody ready to go. But that Kentucky defense, as good as the Arkansas defense has been in recent weeks, Kentucky's defense is playing lights out. 10 turnovers, 3 pick sixes in their last 2 games. That's mighty impressive.
Dude, like, Mark Stoops, I love that guy. Like, and I don't care about Kentucky football, but I respect that dude. His coaching has been so good at Kentucky, and that's a tough place to win. And the fact that, you know, he's doing it in a way that having sound defense and all that is impressive. And so I always kind of watch Kentucky out of the corner of my eye. They should have beaten Ole Miss. If it wasn't for that mixed extra point in overtime, you know, who knows what would have happened in that game. So, you know, they've had one get away from him as well. But I really like Mark Stoops. I really like Kentucky. The thing is like Missouri, though, I haven't watched them a ton this year. But just from watching their games that I could in highlights and all that stuff, I don't know. There's just – I don't see have a lot of faith in what Eli Drinkwitz is doing. I didn't think it was that great of a hire by them, but there's just part of me that just feels like, you know, at some point in time, the even if they say they're done with COVID issues, I don't think it's going to matter. Like, I still think Missouri is one of the worst teams in the SEC besides maybe Vanderbilt. So, I don't know. I just think Kentucky's going to do it, man.
They look good against LSU, but that's not really saying much because of that defense. But no, they got their one win of the season. If they make up the Vandy game, that'll get their second win, and Mizzou will be happy with that.
Yeah. I mean, and that's fine. Again, maybe they'll prove me wrong. We're all wrong in a lot of things because I never would have dreamed LSU would be as bad as they are defensively as they are right now. And you know, I wouldn't have dreamed Arkansas would be as good as what they are now. And I cover the team and watch them. So. But that's what makes the SEC fun, man, is just being able to have these matchups. Even if they're not top 25 games, they still got some intrigue and they still got some interest.
He is John Neighbors, Locked On Razorbacks, here on the Locked On SEC podcast. Great to do a dual podcast here with you, man.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, man. And I know that it's great to have football season. It's amazing we're almost halfway through it now already in the SEC year. But it's awesome, man. I can't wait to continue to talk about it. And hopefully for Arkansas, I have some more wins to talk about, too, because it's been fun so far.
All right, that again, our buddy John Neighbors. Always good to talk all things Razorbacks and SEC with him. That is just about going to do it for this edition of the Locked On SEC podcast. Remember to subscribe. We're here for you 5 days a week. Talking all things SEC. Looking forward to tomorrow's show. You definitely don't want to miss that. Connor O'Gara from Saturday Down South going to join us. We'll talk all things SEC football and preview the four big games in the conference coming up this weekend and much, much more. You don't want to miss it. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Stay safe.